RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Jennifer Margulis, PhD, is an award-winning science journalist, author with extensive experience in global health initiatives. She has appeared on RCR with Alastair Harding back in June, talking about the causes behind the global decline in male fertility rates. We thought we'd get Jennifer on to talk about glyphosates in vaccines and how growing vaccine safety awareness affected the US election. So I want to welcome Jennifer back to RCR, specifically to this program. Jennifer, thanks for beaming in from wherever you are in the United States.
Thank you so much for having me. It's very dark here. It's morning where you are and it's evening where I am.
Yeah. But we can still see and talk to each other. It's a miracle. All right. I'm wondering, obvious question first, the role of RFK Jr. and Make America Healthy Again, which seems to have captured people, fair to say. How much of an element or those elements were at play in this election? Because I guess people voted for a whole raft of reasons. And where does it put, I guess, is it the pushback or let's say the transparent analysis of vaccines, their effects or otherwise? Where is that now, just in the last week? I'm picking that shifted quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent question, Paul. And I want to just say that I'm sort of weighing in more as an American who was fascinated by this election than I am in my capacity as an investigative journalist, because I don't usually write about politics. And, you know, my research focuses much more on health and vaccine safety. I'm interested in medical freedom issues. But so I have to, full disclosure, I went to bed the night before the election believing the inaccurate media, which was saying that 5 out of 6 polls was showing that Kamala Harris would win by a very small margin. And I woke up in the morning to find out that not only had Donald Trump won the election, but that it was absolutely not close. He won the popular vote, which apparently no Republican has done in the last something like 20 years. And he won the Electoral College. So it was a huge protest against the current administration. And absolutely, the question of vaccine safety, I think, has been playing a big part in that, because it's not just about vaccine safety. It's about medical freedom, religious freedom, and anti-censorship. In some ways, it's very ironic, and we probably don't have time to get into that, but a vote for Donald Trump ended up being a vote in favor of freedom, in favor of transparency, and in favor of medical choice. Because one of the things that RFK Jr., aka Bobby Kennedy, promised was that, you know, this campaign about making America healthy again, but just the fact that he was willing and is willing to have the conversation, to hold the pharmaceutical industry's feet to the fire, and to say no to environmental toxins, which are also in vaccines, and which many people believe vaccines are a massive toxin that's causing huge disruption in our children's health. The fact that RFK was having those conversations openly and honestly, in spite of being relentlessly censored, made a lot of people step up and vote for Donald Trump, who would not ever have aligned themselves either with the Republican Party as it used to be, or necessarily with Donald Trump, who he is and who he has been.
Do you think there's any hope in this administration of the PrEP Act being ejected? Because that provides the immunity, doesn't it, for the big pharma companies. And if they're exempt from any responsibility, they'll do whatever they can get away with. But if that goes away, that's it, isn't it? It's slam dunk.
Yes, so we have two things going on here. So in 1986, Congress passed an act called, which we call the Vaccine Act, which basically took the liability away from the vaccine manufacturers and put a tax on every vial of vaccine that was given in the United States. And out of that consumer tax, when someone is harmed by a vaccine or when someone, a child dies, the money comes from this no-fault court. And that was actually established in 1986, Paul. And so one of the biggest, most vociferous things happening among vaccine safety advocates, and I'd like to say that that's not the same thing as sort of anti-vaxxers. And, you know, the mainstream media paints Bobby Kennedy as this, you know, vehement anti-vaxxer. If you ever listen to him talk and if you've read anything he's written, you'll know that he is a voice of reason and balance. And he's
well, he goes out of his way to tell everybody that every time. You can't miss it.
Exactly. But apparently every single liberal media outlet in the United States has missed it. And, you know, they use that as kind of a slur. But in any case, one of the things that we're calling for, we meaning anybody interested in making America healthy, which I would think would be every American in the United States, but you'd be surprised, right? Is that the 1986 Vaccine Act needs to be repealed because we need to have manufacturers be responsible for and liable for faulty products. I mean, literally, when they found glass shards in the HIBA vaccine that they were giving, you know, to children, no one could hold the manufacturers liable. And people are saying that that is something that needs to happen. And then there's also this question of the PrEP Act. So, you know, we have a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work ahead of us to try to actually prioritize children's health and adult health and deprioritize big pharmaceuticals, big profits.
What goes into these vaccines? I mentioned at the start glyphosate. Now we know about that. I think in its application in agriculture, what's it doing in vaccines?
Yeah, so that's an excellent question. And you have to understand, so if you want to know what the ingredients are, and I would encourage every parent in New Zealand, America, and everywhere else to actually do their research themselves and look up the vaccine ingredients. So there's a list of vaccine ingredients, vaccine by vaccine. And I don't know the vaccines that are made in New Zealand. I don't know how to find that list, but I can tell you if you're an American listening to this program, you can Google vaccine excipient list, and that will bring you to the pink book that is put out by the CDC. And each vaccine is listed by the brand name and then the ingredients in it. So those are what's actually known and what's listed and what the manufacturers disclose. Now, glyphosate, of course, is not on any of those lists. So people are saying, oh, that's not true. That's just clickbait. Oh, there's no glyphosate. You're just saying that. Well, absolutely, it is completely true. And how do we know that? Because a wonderful organization that maybe has been on your radio before, Moms Across America, had took vials of the vaccines and got them independently tested by an independent laboratory. And this all went down, it's a matter of public record, Paul, in 2016. And they found that every vaccine that was independently tested, tested positive for different measurable amounts of glyphosate. And, you know, this is such a toxic chemical that we talk about parts per billion. So we're talking about little tiny bits, but even the smallest amounts, when you have something that disrupts the endocrine system, for example, or interferes with the beneficial bacteria that help populate our gut, when you're talking about absolutely minuscule, teeny tiny amounts, that's all sometimes it can take to do all sorts of damage. So the question of how is the glyphosate getting into the vaccines is something that the FDA, once they received that excellently written and very carefully documented letter saying exposing the results of this independent testing, should have started testing all the vaccines on the childhood schedule very rigorously and should have tried to figure out where the glyphosate was coming from. So we have some theories that are, you know, that are pretty verifiable, but I have to say that, you know, at this point, there is such a lack of will on the and there won't be any more, at least that's the hope, but on the part of the Biden administration to do anything to respond in any meaningful way to this problem, these problems of vaccine contamination. There's been no incentive whatsoever. Apparently, okay, so for your listeners already know this, but glyphosate has been linked pretty definitively with cancer, especially with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And so, you know, Monsanto, that's the company that started it, but it's not the company now, it's Bayer that owns, that is making Roundup, right? They have paid out, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in settling lawsuits. And so that's really not controversial anymore that glyphosate leads to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So How could you possibly justify, in an age where we're seeing rises in cancers, especially among younger adults, especially colorectal cancers, how could you possibly justify injecting intramuscularly a known carcinogen? And that's not the only problem with glyphosate, with this absolute toxin. And how could you not be absolutely motivated to figure out where it's coming from and why it's there? And just, and the, you know, the question is, the answer to your question is we don't know. And we have no government accountability and we have no government will. At the same time, it's very possible that, you know, some of the vaccines that tested highest for glyphosate are viral vaccines, and the viruses are grown in gelatin medium. And this media is taken from pigs for the most part. And so the gelatin that is taken from these pigs, and this is an interesting question also for vegans, you know, there's a lot of animal products and vaccines that vegans aren't usually aware of. And also there's porcine products. So there's pig products, and these are listed if you go to the vaccine excipient list, right? Which is a problem for religious Jews. And then there's the question of cell lines grown on aborted fetal tissue, which is a problem for people who are Catholic and people who are against abortion. But in any case, that is one very possible method. I mean, the truth is we're seeing glyphosate contamination, and there was just a CDC study published, I think in 2023, that showed that 87% of the children that were tested positive for glyphosate. And that number is actually only 80%. In the same paper, they talked about how 80% of adults, 87% of children. So we see glyphosate contamination in all sorts of ways, and especially it's being given to pigs in their feed because it's ubiquitous in grains, especially.
Oh, man. Jeez. Boy, try and undo all that.
Absolutely. Well, one very simple way to do it, which over 20 countries has already done, is you ban glyphosate. I mean, yeah, we raised our children in Southern Oregon, and the Jackson County beat Monsanto. Monsanto wanted to, you know, have a green light to spray the fields with glyphosate. And it was a small number of very determined, concerned farmers and consumers who educated Jackson County, which has about 250,000 people. And glyphosate is banned from Jackson County. So it's, I think we can undo it easily. I'm very hopeful that when we have the will, we find the way.
It's amazing, though, that in this game, they, whoever they are, play so hard and fast with human health. It's just, it's almost disposable, really.
It's absolutely disposable. I mean, the they is very clear to me. The they are the huge, you know, it's big pharma, big agriculture, big food, big infant formula. You know, one of the first ingredients in infant formula are these soy products. You know, it's often made with soy, or it's made with cow derived parts, and you see high fructose corn syrup. So corn is a major ingredient in infant formula. And, you know, the amount of money that is made by these corporations is staggering. That's why they don't want to change things, because they're doing very well. Thank you very much. During COVID, you remember 493 newly minted billionaires.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big, huge wealth transfer.
There's a huge amount of money to be made by keeping Americans and everybody else sick, or fat, sick, and nearly dead. We don't want them dead necessarily, but we want them to be.
We can't sell to dead people.
Yeah, we can't sell to dead people, but we certainly can to people who are chronically diseased and chronically inflamed, or whose life force is going out of them for 10 or 15 years before they die. I mean, that's a huge market, and people are capitalizing on it like there's no tomorrow.
I'm wondering if you've got something to say regarding the case of Lisa Domsky, IT specialist, who has been, a jury has found in favor of her in a case involving her, ruling termination of employment based on the COVID vax, awarding her $12.7 million. Wow. Okay, so what does that mean? Is that a line in the sand? And are we going to see now class action COVID lawsuits all over the place and big awarding of damages, I guess, in these cases. Is that a significant, well, it must be some kind of significant thing. This case.
I hope so. I mean, yes, I have a lot to say. So here's the thing is that this 66-year-old woman from Michigan who had worked at her job for 23 years, she's an IT specialist, she's Catholic, practicing Catholic, and she worked for Blue Cross Blue Shield. She told Blue Cross Blue Shield that she did not want the COVID vaccine. They implemented a company-wide policy that you had to have it. But in America, we still have exemptions. We have medical exemptions, we have religious exemptions, and in some states, we have philosophical exemptions as well. So the company said you may have a religious exemption to the COVID-19 vaccine if you file an exemption. She did, and they fired her. You know, the religious exemption for Catholics is very clear. And I will tell you, Paul, that every time this has been challenged in court, the court, in this case, it was a jury, but the courts decide in favor of the fired employee every single time. And I think this is an absolutely wonderful verdict. I mean, people are ecstatic about it because, you know, it's a huge amount of money and it's a big slap in the face for employers that want to discriminate against people for their religious beliefs. Now, you can say, but wait a second. The mRNA vaccines do not contain cell lines grown from aborted fetal tissue. That is true. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which has no longer being used in the United States, does contain those cell lines, by the way. But the two, the Pfizer and the Moderna, which most Americans were choosing, does not. However, when Pfizer and Moderna were developing the vaccine, they were using cell lines from aborted fetuses. So anyone who is anti-abortion or pro-life or just believes that we shouldn't be using human cells grown from abortions has a legitimate religious vaccine exemption. And for Blue Cross Blue Shield to not acknowledge that exemption and to decide, like they were going to decide that it wasn't her sincerely held religious belief, that's ridiculous. And I was so delighted to read those headlines this morning, Paul, because of despair. There was a feeling of despair in the last administration, going back to the political question you asked me earlier, that none of the Democrats seem to care about our religious beliefs, our religious freedom, our censorship, our freedom. You know, they cared about censorship, that they imposed it. They didn't seem to care about freedom of speech or freedom of the press. These are basic core American values that I naively thought every American cared about. I care deeply about freedom of speech. You do not have to agree with me, but I will fight for your right to speak your truth.
Wow. Okay, boy, that time went quick. We're going to have you back again if it's all right and talk some more. That was amazing. Jennifer Magalus, who is award-winning science journalist, author, etc. I described it at the start. Thanks so much for coming on again. Great to chat with you and look forward maybe to another occasion sometime.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.